All right, welcome to the second hour of the Chase and Big Joe Show right here on 102.5, 106.3 of the game. Chase McCabe off today. He's in New York City getting another award for his LinkedIn cloud storage. This time he's like a master's degree equivalent. So Chase will be back with us on Wednesday. So proud of that young man. He embraced the whole LinkedIn cloud storage world. He's taken off with it, so good for him. Sitting in, our good friend Dr. Crane, outside the glass in the studio today, and the speaker, Connor Newt, running the show. Dr. Crane, it's yours.
It is. It is the Chase McJoe Show today, and we're alongside Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining the show. Brett, how you doing this morning?
I'm down to talk some sports, hopefully not ACT and SAT scores. That'd be great.
Yeah. What'd you get in your ACT score?
22.
Oh, I mean, better than us, Joe.
He's smart.
Yeah.
You know that.
That's why he was a...
I don't even know what's the perfect score on an ACT.
36.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Not there.
Right.
Perfect score.
Good thing football worked out.
Yes. Yeah. Amen to that.
Speaking of football, perfect scores, perfect attendance. Jeffrey Simmons not seen at the Phase 3 aspect of Titans camp. I guess for you, when you were in Titans camp as a punter and so forth, being a leader on that team, do you think it's a bit of a concern? I know it's all voluntary, but you think it's a little bit of a concern him not being there?
I mean, maybe a little bit. You know, I think if anything, I know Big Jeff's taking care of, you know, working out, all that kind of stuff, right? I know Derek did that a little bit. And there were guys that would show up, you know, for the mandatory minicamp. And that's fine because they're veterans. They know what they're doing. They have a routine. Sometimes they had a new addition to the family, spend more time with the family. There's reasons for everything. You know, I think if anything, you know, right now you got your phase 1, 2, 3, all that stuff. You're doing things on the field. You're getting better. You're in meetings, all that kind of stuff. But really, it's an opportunity for you to get to know a lot of the new guys that are coming to the team, right? And building that chemistry, you know, with the new guys that are there and meeting them, learning their story, learning more about them, right? So you can kind of gel as a team. I mean, missing that element, it might not seem like much, but, you know, I think it is. And so obviously he'll be there for mandatory camp, right? But I think you'd like to see him there, but obviously he's not.
I guess when you were in the Phase 3 aspect of all this, when you were playing, what player didn't show up for you and you kind of rub you the wrong way a little bit? I know it's kind of behind the curtain, but any player stick out in your brain there?
Well, I honestly can't really remember many guys that missed. And if guys did miss, there was, you know, I think I'm trying to remember who. Sometimes it would be, you know, they just had their family just had a new child, and they would miss a week or two, or guys that you knew were transitioning from another team to the Titans, but they were living in a different city, and maybe they had young kids that were still finishing school. I mean, there's a bunch of different reasons, but I think I remember Kevin Dodd not showing up at all, and he was like a second-round pick or whatever it was, and that was just that was pretty infuriating for a lot of guys, not just me. But you'd like to see guys there. Obviously just because it's team building, right? You're working out together. You're in the weight room together. You're on the field together. You're meeting together. You know, you can get off, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you know, maybe some guys want to go play 9 holes together. Some guys go paintball, you know, just kind of hang out, whatever. And that's a really good opportunity to do that. Cause once the season rolls around, I mean, you know, you don't really have a lot of time to do that stuff outside of, you know, being in the facility. You can go to dinner every now and then, but there's not a lot of time to really hang out. Kind of the time to do it. So, you know, like I said, a lot of veteran guys, some guys would miss a week, I personally would, you know, miss some stuff here and there with things going on. But, I think you'd like to have everybody there just because it's a time to gel together.
We're talking to Brett Kern on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, you know, Brett, if it's voluntary, I get it. But if you're missing mandatory things, to me, that's a whole different ball game because it's the impression that you're putting yourself – over team, even Aaron Rodgers did that. He didn't show up, mandatory.
Right.
Oh, I had it worked out. That just rubs everybody the wrong way. So if it's voluntary, I have no problem with it. Mandatory, please show up.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, mandatory stuff too. Like you're getting fined, right? I mean, you miss the mandatory stuff. I mean, you're looking at, you know, I think it might. I don't know what it is now, but you know, I remember it being, you know, $10,000 to $15,000 a day, right? You know, I guess I look at it as like, this is what I'm paid to do. This is my job. I get it. It's voluntary, quote, you know, quote unquote. But, you know, it's also a time for, for me to get better, right? It's a time for me to be out on an NFL football field with guys that I'm learning who they are, maybe meeting them for the first time, getting to know them, right? And also show that, like, I'm here, whether it was, you know, my third year, fourth year, or my 15th year, right? Like, this is my job. This is what I'm getting paid to do, to get better at my craft, to be the best that I can be. And that's why I'm there.
Will Levis seems to be saying, Brett, and doing all the right things. How beneficial is that for him to come in and say, look, I'm here, do whatever it takes, because we all know he's looking for his next job. And if you're looking at this, I know the attitude part of this, you're thinking, all right, he's got a good attitude, good work ethic, he wants to improve, and if you're another team, like, you know, I wouldn't mind adding that guy. But is there also a possibility, Brett, that he sticks around here? Because this is like a 50-50 now.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it earlier, I think, in previous shows. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like, if people are like, well, just cut him, right? I mean, that's $4.5 million off your cap, right? That's dead cap. That's not, you know, chump change, right? That's a significant amount of money. And so the cutting him is one thing. And then also, if you want to trade him, like, you have to find a trade partner. It's not as easy as just saying, hey, trade him. It's not that easy, right? And so for him, yeah, I mean, there's a very real chance that he could stick around, right? If everything's going right, this is also his second year under Coach Callahan and in the system. I think, you know, last year and even the year prior, with how he played and the mistakes that he made, and obviously if you could just take time to sit back and process it all and learn from it and hopefully grow in those mistakes, right, and see what he's doing, you know, and if there's improvement, right, I mean, why not? I know people aren't really wild about it, but there's a chance that he could stick around and obviously be a backup quarterback. There's also a chance he could get traded, right? I think that will depend on how things go, how things shake out rep-wise, you know, in the preseason as far as how he performs and all that kind of stuff. And so I'll be curious to see. It's kind of one of those storylines, right? You kind of see how that goes from, you know, into training camp and how that leads into preseason games.
Brett Kearns with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Brett, you know, Titans draft a slew of offensive players to surround with Cam Ward, see what they got in their young quarterback. But on the defensive side of the ball, you go grab Cody Barton. They don't really have a definitive other inside linebacker. I guess for your standpoint, what are you expecting out of this Titans defense this year? Obviously, it might be a little lopsided with production, but what are you expecting from them?
I mean, obviously, you know, second year with Denard, like, it's you got to compete, right? Maybe it's a bend, don't break type defense. I don't really know if anybody knows, right? you don't really know what to expect kind of week one. You know, all you know is that you need guys that are going to go out there and contribute, right? If that means rotating guys more, you know, the front seven, you know, the D-line, rotating guys to get in, get reps, stay fresh. You know, it's I just think if anything, you want to see them, you know, it might sound cliche, but you just want to see them compete, right? What are they – who's out there, who's competing, you know, who's being consistent, who can they rely on in certain situations. And so I'd be curious to see kind of how that forms. Sometimes also too, I mean, for me personally, I love to watch, you know, kind of the preseason camp. Yes, you can kind of see what's going on, you know, in pads. There's obviously way more competing compared to now. You know, I mean, there's pretty much none in phase one or phase two. Phase three, you get a little bit more where you can, you know, maybe do 7-on-7s, 1-on-1s. You can kind of see the competition. But once you put the pads on and you can see who can break a press, who can press, you know, who's coming in and filling the hole, who's making that big hit in training camp, you know, for a TFL, you know, who's getting after the quarterback. But really some of those guys that go out there in preseason and perform, right? And they perform and you're like, man, this guy can make the team. And maybe a guy that you knew was going to make the team, all of a sudden it's like, hey, this guy can be a contributor on defense this year. And plus you have to understand too, is like, you don't know what else is out there. I always know when that 53-man roster came around to the final cuts and all that stuff, like that wasn't really set in stone because you don't know who's going to get released. Maybe some guy gets released because of cap situations. You know, he might have a Will Levis type situation where, hey, this team's willing to trade him because of his cap number, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, you can maybe get a good idea of maybe what they're going to be. Obviously, see what happens when the preseason rolls around. But that could also change, too. You might be able to add a piece or two come, you know, the end of the preseason.
And piggybacking off that, you know, when you were with the Titans in the mid-2010s, when you had those 2-14 seasons, I guess when it was defensively, when there wasn't a really good core there, were those primarily, I guess you'd look at it as tryouts for the following season for more special teams options? Because now that the Titans have brought in Bones Fossil as their special teams coordinator, you got to maybe look at it in that direction maybe?
Yeah, I mean, Bones is going to get his guys. I know throughout the years of playing, like, some coordinators, you know, the head coach would be like, hey, you know, you get three or four guys that we're going to keep just for special teams to be a part of your core four, right? You know, Bones obviously has been around for a long time, carries the respect that I would think that Coach Callahan would be able to give him three or four guys that are just core four guys, right? We don't know necessarily who they're going to be, but you'll be able to tell probably come training camp, you know, who's playing those key spots on punt, who's playing those key spots on kickoff return, right, that core four punt return, right? And so, yeah, sometimes, you know, you get like, you know, kind of like last year where, you know, obviously things are going how you wanted to go and you get some guys out there. A, you're getting reps on defense, maybe offense to kind of see what they can do. But then also, you know, you're getting huge special teams reps because, I mean, I've seen plenty of guys that have made careers, you know, 8, 9, 10 years in the league just playing special teams. And so sometimes those guys are kind of diamond in the rough type guys to find. They may not be the best on offense, may not be the best on defense, but for some reason they can play special teams and they can play it really well. And I think, you know, obviously being a special teams guy, special teams is huge. I don't think a lot of people realize how much hidden yardage can affect a game. You know, if you're plus, you know, 100 plus 120, 130 in the hidden yardage, I mean, you look at it, that's, you know, that's 10 to 13 free first downs for your offense. And so special teams, I think, is going to be critical this year to help Cam Ward, the offense. If you can win the special teams battle most games and win that hidden yardage, that'll be huge for the offense.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, Brett, we're talking a lot about technology and reviewing plays and this and that. And Dr. Crane brought up how in England they have a chip in the soccer ball to see if it could cross the line or whatever. Why can't we put a chip in a football to make an accurate of like where the ball lands or where it goes? But are we still going to be screwed by a ref who picks a ball up and moves it back a yard or two, or moves it up a front or two? What are the advantages of putting a chip in a football?
I know they talked about that, and I actually remember testing a couple footballs with chips in them just to see if they would fly different, if they would come off the foot different, you know, with field goals. Obviously, because, you know, they raise the field goal posts, right? Because guys, the old, you know, when I first came in the league, the field goal posts really weren't that tall. And so some guys were hitting it kind of over that extended field goal post bar. And so, you know, you're leaving up to an official who's looking straight up, kind of like, it's kind of like the fall ball home run thing, you know, with the Vandy Wright State game.
Yeah.
Right? You're trying to determine if this is a home run from a guy that's 320, 330 feet. And that ball was hammered too. So, you know, you're looking at probably maybe 400 feet when that thing finally came down, right? And so, you know, I remember them trying to put chips in the balls just to kind of see, hey, if a kicker kicks it, you know, if it goes over the upright, would that be good? Would that be not good? You know, if you hit a punt and it goes out of bounds, can we officially detect it where it went out of bounds? You know, because I've had punts. I tell you what, I feel like I was screwed out of about 1,000 yards when I was directional punting because I felt
right.
Like the ball, the trajectory would go out to 20, and then here comes the official, 20, 25, 30, and you lose 10 yards, right? That's a whole first down. Doesn't seem like much, but it is. So, you know, I mean, why not? We could send people to space, right? Why can't we have the technology to get things right? And I understand there's going to be human error, right? There's human error in everything. But I feel like if you have the technology to review everything, balls, strikes, if a ball goes out of bounds, through the uprights, is across the goal line, all that kind of stuff, right? As long as it doesn't impede on the timing as far as, hey, this takes 5 minutes to review or this is two, and it restricts the flow, the rhythm of the game. I mean, why not review everything?
Absolutely on that. Brett, as always, it is an honor and privilege, my good sir, to have you on the show. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great week.
All right, Brett Kern, former Tennessee Titans punter, join us on the Chasing Big Show. All right, we'll come back. We will revisit our question today. What's the worst sports team of all time? Because, Dr. Cray, the Colorado Rockies, what's their record again?
9-50.
That just makes me laugh. Just awful. Just awful. So we got a lot of response to. Plus, you know, we talk sports quite a bit, but then we asked a question about zebra gum, and our text messaging line just lights up. Just lights. You guys are amazing. All right, we've got more. We're going to take responses. 615-737-1025. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by the Omni National Hotel. 1025, 1063 The Game. All right, welcome back here to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 1025, 1063 The Game. Dr. Crane sitting in for Chase McCabe. The speaker, Connor Newt, behind the glass today. Chase, I'll be back here on Wednesday. What's going on? Man, thank you for Brett Kern for all that. There's a lot to – this is a busy Monday for June, right?
It's a new season. It's summer. There's a lot of stuff going on in the summer.
Well, I mean, you didn't think about it. We had the Cracker Barrel 400 last night. Ryan Blaney won that race. By the way, Mr. Speaker, get that Blaney clip ready to go because we're going to play it again. And then you had the baseball Vandy getting bounced, embarrassingly bounced out of the tournament this weekend. The Vols do or die tonight up in Knoxville. And the SEC not doing too well in the baseball tournament. You know, Dr. Crane, we talked about this. Everybody is rooting against the SEC now.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Everyone. And, you know, over the weekend, Jake Lyman and I were discussing, like, SEC could have had potentially six teams in the College World Series. Now? No. This whole entire SEC conference itself has just imploded. They have imploded. They have self-destructed each other, and it's just unfortunate because everybody looks at the SEC as the high and mighty conference of the world.
Well, I get it because they've won a lot of things, but now when they lose, everybody just goes at them. Two teams have already advanced to the Super Regional, Auburn and Arkansas, correct?
That is correct.
So Ole Miss plays Murray State today. UNC plays OU. LSU plays Arkansas Little Rock. I mean, Vandy getting beat is embarrassing, but if LSU gets bounced by UALR.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's a good ball club. I watched it last night. Good ball club.
They're hot.
They are.
I think they finished the season like 27-35 or something like that. But then they won their conference tournament, so they're in.
It's all you need, man, right? And make the run. Of course, Wake Forest takes on UT tonight at 5 o'clock Central Time. Is that correct? 6 o'clock Eastern?
Yes.
Up in Knoxville for that, too, as well. So the SEC, Vandy's out, Texas out, Georgia's out, Kentucky's out, Mississippi State's out. And so not a good weekend for the – not for Vandy, just terrible.
Yeah.
How do you let that happen?
I don't know. Maybe the whistles got to him. I don't know.
I love the Whistler.
Yeah.
If I know something's annoying you, I love it. Very few things annoy me except traffic and red lights. I can go on and on. I shouldn't have said that, right? Yeah. Go down that. But I like the Whistler doesn't bother. I don't care. I just whatever, man.
I think it's a staple in baseball for Vanderbilt in general. You got to have the Whistler.
Yeah.
If you don't have the Whistler, you're not playing Vandy baseball.
We did a thing one time, the most annoying thing in sports, and he won.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was last summer we did that.
Oh, most is that annoying, the bracket?
Most annoying thing in sports, the Whistler. Well, I was like, good for him. Can you imagine doing that for 3 hours?
Do you think
every game?
Do you think he practices at home?
Aren't there multiple Whistlers, I was told?
Yeah. There's two. There's the original guy that you see, the dude with the beard, and then there's a guy that kind of piggybacks off of him.
I love it, man. It just makes me laugh because I know other people just go insane over all that. That happens that way. So a lot of baseball happened tonight. So if the Vols win, they'll take on Arkansas next weekend, which is a daunting task. But you know what? Wright State.
Yeah.
Came, although they didn't advance to the Super Regional, but I mean they knocked off the number one team. Should have beat them twice.
They really should have. I mean, just leave that pitcher in. He would have probably thrown a no-hitter the whole game.
Your bonehead coach doesn't take him out and do all that. So all that's happened. All right, we'll get back to your text, 615-737-1025, about the worst sports team of all time. And now with the reviewable plays, which is driving a lot of people crazy because you have the technology, they should be reviews. Also, the College Football Hall of Fame ballots come out. There's a few people on the list that you are friends and listening here. You might want to know who's on this list. And one, probably well-deserving, won't get on there, but is deserved. We'll talk about that when we come back here next. This is the Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 106 for the game, brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, here we go. Can't interrupt Bobby Brown there at the beginning. Welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel, the best hotel ever. Dr. Crane sitting in for Chase, who's off today. He'll be back on Wednesday. The speaker, Connor Newt, behind the glass. Again, we sent out a note earlier about help us out name with the gum with the zebra on it because the zebra escaped from Murfreesboro. And we got hundreds, it seems like, people telling us Fruit Stripe was the one. Connor, thank you for that, for the first one. But you guys are great. We talk sports, but then we ask, what's the zebra gum? And then nonstop Fruit Stripe coming through. So thank you about that. The 26th College Football Hall of Fame ballots come out. A lot of people on there. Josh Heupel is on there for what he did at Oklahoma back in 99 and 2000. He led them to a national championship. So a lot of guys on that list as well. Randall Cobb is on the list. Deion Grant, Tennessee player. No Vandy players on there. And Larry Sievers, he was a receiver in the 70s, is on the list as well. But what's interesting is that on the coaches list on here, Tommy Tuberville is one. Chris Peterson at Boise State. Gary Patterson. Ralph Friedgen. Dennis Franchione. Larry Coker. And Mike Leach is not on here. Now, you have to have a 60% winning percentage to be qualified, but they've lowered it to 59.5-something. That's what Mike Leach had. And, Dr. Crane, you had a very – you're a Mississippi State fan.
Yes.
I think you sum it up for all of us. We talk about should you lower the standards for the Hall of Fame or keep it like it is. And you said
– absolutely not. But – there's an asterisk next to this. It's Mike Leach. The whole situation with him having his heart attack or whatever it was, you feel for him because he's done everything in college football right. He's gone along with the programs. He's helped build programs. He's even, before the college football playoff was in existence, he's talked about the expansion of it, how it's all going to play out.
Right.
And it's right. He's been right about everything for the most part. And it's just unfortunate. Who's what? One win shy of
something
60.
Like that, yeah.
So in this case, no, but yes. I know it's because my heart's torn. I'm torn. I'm a Mississippi State fan. Mike Leach was everything to Mississippi State because when Dan Mullen left, it was like somebody just stuck a dagger in my back. And I'm like, oh, well, here comes 5 to 6 years of just pure pain and sadness. And Mike Leach came in, and they did the whole promo of him on a boat with a sword, saying the pirates here or whatever.
Right?
I loved it. I was bought in. This was great. Like, Mike Leach was the best thing that ever happened to Mississippi State football within the last 5 to 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And then that all takes place, and it's unfortunate. So I would say yes. Put him in the Hall of Fame. This will take place in 2027, so which is perfect time for this to marinate.
But are you okay? But I'm not okay lowering standards. Like, somebody said Bob Uecker should be in the Hall of Fame. And I'm like, well, he's like, yeah, as a player, I put him in the – I'm like, no, Bob Uecker was terrible.
Now,
a contributor, yes.
Yes.
But as a player, Bob Uecker does not belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm torn as well. Mike Leach meant the world to the game of football.
Yes.
But a standard is a standard. And if you say no, then you're heartless and you're the worst person ever and all that. But where does it stop? Like, well, you know what? Nick Frazier's got 57%, and he did this. Let's lower it a little bit right there.
Yeah,
it's the Hall of Fame.
I'm still in the camp of make the exception. I wouldn't be surprised if the Hall of Fame ends up lowering the standard, accepting him in 27, and then, you know.
How is that fair, though?
That's the way people get away with things. Like, look at the NFL, prime example. They did the challenge pass interference call. It worked for a few times, and they got rid of it.
How does that do anything with the Hall of Fame?
I'm just saying it's the same situation.
Right.
You allow something to happen, and then quietly fade it out, and they go back to their old standard. I mean,
I feel bad because I think you are 100% correct on this. Our hearts like put them in.
Yeah.
But then the other part's like, look, they got standard. You start lowering for this and for that, then where does it go? Where does it end?
But here's the deal, Joe. You look at college football as a whole, it's an absolute crapshoot right now. I mean, the playoff, everything. So, I mean, if you just tie all this into it, I wouldn't say it's the icing on the cake, but it's okay in some regard. It's not looked at as a frowned-upon gesture when it comes to college football.
Well, like Tommy Tuberville has a 62% winning percentage, so he qualifies. Chris Peterson, 80%.
Right.
Gary Patterson, 70%. Ralph Friedgen at 60% exactly. Now, I mean, we'll argue who's more beloved, Ralph Friedgen or Mike Leach. Mike Leach, hands down.
Yeah.
But they set – 60%.
I mean, could they just not put him as a honorary member instead of actually putting him in the Hall of Fame? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. And I feel bad saying no about this when it should be in the Hall. I just don't know, man.
If it were me going back and looking at, you know, all the games that he coached, I think the only loophole that you'll be able to find in allowing him to increase that win percentage is including the interim head coach's win percentage on Mike Leach's record. I think that's the only way you can possibly find a way to get him at 60. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if he was at Washington State or if he was at, you know, Mississippi State after he left where Zach Arnett took over.
That opens – I get it. I mean, you were dead on, but that opens another whole can of worms.
Yeah, well, it opens up a can of worms right then and there, but I feel like if you have your researchers go back and find all the coaches that ended up – and that's a lot of work, I understand, but, you know, what else they got to do besides – add people into the Hall of Fame. That's your right. job. Go back and look at how many interim head coaching wins did this coach have, and it goes on that head coach's record. If they were fired, if they were they chose another job to go to another university, I think that should go on that head coach's record.
What if the interim coach lost?
Then bummer. It doesn't help you.
1652 says, we only do this for Mike Leach. Only for Mike Leach, the total and complete embodiment of college football. Yes, and that's the problem. Is that he is, but they already set the standards on there. And I just, this is a discussion that has to happen. Yeah. I don't want it to happen because I've gotten no final, like, all right, I'm 50-50 on this.
You know what this reminds me of, Joe? And it reminds me a
Yahtzee?
Lot. No, not Yahtzee. Major League Baseball. And I hate divvying everything back to baseball, but you look at Cooperstown, it's a voting thing. They vote in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not off of win percentage, whatever. It's off of the actual voter.
Right.
So for college football to base it off of a 60% win percentage, you're lowering it to 59.5. Just get rid of it. Because like if you're going to do it and you're going to allow Mike Leach in, get rid of the win percentage thing and go off a true voter's ballot. I think that's the only way you can fix this.
Yeah, but at least at 60%, you know what's cutting. That's why the 60% was there, because
yes.
you have to get there, and then there's no question of going forward.
But
like
I'm
that.
Saying going forward, though, if you're going to allow Mike Leach in and lower it to 59.5, you have to get rid of the whole win percentage thing and base it off of a true vote. That's the only way you can solve this.
Okay. It's a tough one because, you saw it everywhere he went. He was beloved.
He is
loved
college
him
football.
At Mississippi State.
Yeah. And not only at Mississippi State before that, I mean, Connor knows this as well, playing college football video games, the air raid. Everybody loves college football because of the air raid, right, Connor?
You know where Mike Leach started his career? Offensive coordinator of Kentucky.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
That is where the air raid began.
The absolute birthplace of the air raid.
Yep.
And why is Kentucky not do that now?
Because I'm not coaching there.
Exactly. That's it.
Is that coach? Who was the coach? Hal Mummy? Was that who it was?
Oh, yes. With Tim Couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then who was the quarterback? They ran the Billy Jack. They ran like the option, like the first year with Billy. It's like, why are you running the option with... What's that guy, Kentucky quarterback's name?
Jared Lorenzen?
No,
Hefty Lefty?
No, he came after. Actually, they all started together at Valdosta State in 92, 93, and then they went to Kentucky in 97 and 98. That's where he was, and Mike Leach went over to Oklahoma and then started his career at Texas Tech and on and on and on. But, yeah, Billy Jack Haskins was a quarterback at Kentucky who ran, like, the option, and that's what they did the first year. And it's like, why are you doing this? And then Couch came, and then they started throwing the ball, and it took off, which is good.
I mean, there's just been so many, call them disciples of the Mike Leach air raid. You have Lincoln Riley, Josh Heupel. I mean, you could go on for days. Let's see. What's his name? He went to Texas Tech. And then he went to the NFL.
Kingsbury.
Yeah, Kiff Kingsbury.
Well, there was a guy that coached under him at some point who was Middle's offensive coordinator back in 23. He's like, we got the air raid, and he was an awful. Do you remember that, Connor, the 23? I forget. Stewart was his name,
yeah,
the OC.
That was Stockstill's last year.
Yeah, he was like, we're going to air raid, and he was a terrible
and
play
then
caller.
They ran it like, it was like run, 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 pass.
High school football.
When I hear air raid, throw the ball.
Yeah.
throw the ball. So everybody kind of got under the air raid part of that. And
but he set the trend. Resume.
Yeah, he did. So, I don't know. This will be a debate for somebody else, not us, thank God. All right, we'll come back. It's time for celebrity birthdays, and what day is it? This is the Chase McCabe and Big Joe Show. 102.5, 106 through the game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, welcome back to the Chase and Big Joe Show here, our last segment here on 102.5, 106 through the game. Chase McCabe off today. Be back here on Wednesday. Dr. Crane sitting in for him. The speaker kind of new behind the glass. People weighing in on our text line about the Mike Leach thing. Jim in Springfield says, I don't think you put a coach in the Hall of Fame that never won at least one conference championship. Ouch. He's got a point.
I mean, yeah.
Robert says, when you do all that with the writers, it becomes a popularity contest. Exactly what he says there. Matt, let's see there, text line. Come on, baby, work for me. Matt Nashville says, easy answer. Just go find a reason to vacate an old loss or two.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, make a true case as to why Mike Leach needs to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, honestly, the guy is an absolute trailblazer when it comes to college football. But, like, if you're trying to get him in, I'm just offering options because there's – I don't know what else to tell you. I really don't.
Right. John says, how about we counter this? Make it 70% to get in the Hall of Fame. I like that. I'm like, why not, man? It's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Good. Does Tommy Tuberville belong in the Hall of Fame?
Probably not. Yeah, I don't think so.
I mean, Chris Peterson's got an all nearly 80% winning percentage. Gary Peterson's got near 70. But the criteria is over. I think you got to. I don't even know if you have to have 100 wins or not. I don't know what it is. Maybe you should have 100 wins. And
now, this sounds kind of dumb, what I'm about to say, but I'm saying it anyways. What if they did a tier system at the Hall of Fame?
Like, I don't like crying.
No, not tier. I mean, it's like an actual tiering system. Like high.
I'm not
like
crying.
Tier one, tier two, tier three.
Oh, a tier.
Yeah. Sorry, my pronunciation's not great.
It's
Joe.
A joke, pal.
I know.
Grow up.
I know.
Yeah, pal.
Right?
I'm not taking it
to lighten
hard.
Up.
Yeah. Big time. Yeah, right?
I'm happy.
Does he do this on Saturdays?
Yeah, he's always tearing us down. I mean, come on.
Man.
He's so negative.
I yell right. at clouds like Joe Rexroad. I can't help it.
Tearing or tearing? I think none of that works. That's the problem. There's
gold
plenty
jacket,
of answers.
Gold jacket for 90%, red jacket for 80%, green jacket for 70%, and then, you know, blue jacket for 60%. I don't know.
Columbus sucks anyway in NHL. Nobody wants that.
I'm just throwing out ideas.
No, I just, who knows, man, and there's no rhymer. It's like expanding everything. Like March Madness will eventually be like 96 teams. I mean, it's just ridiculous. To add everybody in there because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
So much money involved.
And Greg Sankey, hey, can you get Mississippi State in? I know they went 5-40, but, I mean, they had to play Alabama and Auburn and basketball in Kentucky. And shut up already. With that, it's time for what days and celebrity birthdays.
Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. The commercial plumbing and HVAC division covers all refrigeration, service, and maintenance needs. JarrettCompaniesInc.com, above and beyond industry standards.
Nice. You read that like the Olsen twins.
Yep. I love reading like the Olsen twins because that's what makes me great. First on the list, we have American Indian Citizenship Day.
Okay.
Love My Dentist Day. So shout out to the dentist.
Who's your dentist?
Doc Holliday is his name.
You just absolutely
really?
Made that up.
I swear, yeah.
Mine's Doc Hudson.
He's a cars guy, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
He's a big car guy.
Doc Hudson is?
Yeah.
Was that Paul Newman in cars?
Paul Newman, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Doc Holliday is my dentist.
Okay, yeah. Nice.
Next, we have his National Thank God It's Monday Day. Yikes. National Bubba Day, I guess.
Plenty of Bubbas around. We love Bubbas.
Bubba. National Leave the Office Early Today, so might do that. National Rocky Road Day, delicious. You know the ice cream, Rocky Road?
No, I thought there's actually a road that was – of course I know what that is.
You look at me like you're confused. I mean,
because I'm in your head, man.
Whatever.
Stallone has a road named after him?
Yeah, right? That's kind of cool. Where's Rambo Road?
I don't know. Maybe it's fictional. I don't know.
All right.
National Rotisserie Chicken Day. And to wrap it up, it says, yell fudge at the Cobras in North America.
It's not a bad day. Rotisserie chicken on the spinning around, right?
It's delicious.
Pretty good.
You ever had rotisserie lamb?
Yeah, down our spot down the Frank's place or whatever.
Little Sam.
Sam's place. What's it called?
Sam's Hero, I believe.
Sam's Hero?
Yeah. Gyro Hero. Yeah.
Gyro. Or is it Hero?
Hero.
Right. You're a hero.
Connor, you ready to play this game? Then you can get help from David James back there if you
need
to.
I don't need help. I can do this.
So it's Nick and Connor here for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. Our first birthday. He is the, I guess he does the Allstate commercial, but he was in the movie Major League. Dennis Haysbert. Played first base.
61.
67.
71. The very funny. Very funny and talented. Dana Carvey. Today's his birthday. How old's Dana Carvey?
59.
Garth is 68.
70. You got one there, Connor. Always get confused. So the speaker's up 1-0. Wayne Brady.
72.
57.
53. I mean, Wayne Brady did that one skit with Dave Chappelle, and he was already popular, but then.
Is he really in his 50s?
53.
Wow.
Zachary Quinto. I guess he played Spock in the Star Trek movies.
65.
40.
48. The new Star Trek. I don't watch that stuff, but.
That's all Chase.
That's all Chase. I don't. You guys don't know her, but she was the wife in the TV show Homeland. She's beautiful. All right, we're going down here a little bit more. So we got here. How are we doing today? Good?
Phenomenal.
It's good. My computer making a time down there. Celebrity birthdays. All right, here we go. Actor Stacy Keach. He voices the TV show American Greed.
59.
66.
84. It's the Beaver. Jerry Mathers. How old is the Beave today?
70.
82.
The Beaver is 77 years old. Still out there. Bass player for the Bengals, Michael Steele.
67.
74.
70. Still 1-0, the speaker. Oh, Andy Cohen, your favorite show at night, Dr. Crane. How old's Andy Cohen?
51.
56.
57.
I don't think I've ever watched.
God, whatever. You watch The Real Housewives and the Andy Cohen's got the 411. That yeah. you always singing that song. Rapper B Real of Cypress Hill.
Go 49.
53.
55. The speaker's up 3-0. I think you're in Dr. Crane's head. I think you've got him
it's
nervous.
All mental. It's a yep. mental game.
Actor Justin Long. He was in Dodgeball and one of the Die Hard movies.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about, man.
They're going 45.
48.
47. The speaker is Greg Maddux and you. 4-0. It's not pretty, but he's getting the job done. We got two good ones here. How old is Lex Luger?
72.
75.
66. Another one for you. How old is professional wrestler AJ Styles?
Oh, I might have lost this one.
Come on.
38.
AJ Styles is 48 years of age.
He's 47. The speaker's up 5-0. Wow. All right, I got three more left here. The Walrus, the golfer, Craig Stadler. How old's Craig Stadler today?
68.
Oh, 54.
72. Race car driver, Kyle Petty.
54.
Didn't he have a band called the Heartbreakers or something like that?
He did.
Okay. 80.
65. And our last birthday, it's a soccer birthday, so you're down 5-0.
He's got to get on the board.
You know what? Abby Wambach?
Wambach? Yeah. U.S. Women's National Team.
How do you say Wambach?
Wambach, yeah.
Okay, how old is Abby Wambach today?
Oh, boy, I don't know. That's good. Let's go 44.
All right.
35.
She is 45. He gets on the board, folks. Avoids the shutout.
That's how we do it.
That's well done, right? That's almost like a win right there.
It is a win.
All right, good. All right. So Mr. Speaker, around the glass, thank you so much. Dr. Crane, thank you for filling in today. Always a pleasure. Chase, be back on Wednesday. Hey, as we leave every show, today's Monday. Chase back on Wednesday. As we head to the week, to our guys out there, again, if you're going through a few things, we tell you all the time, reach out, talk to somebody, no matter what you're doing. You could call or text 988 on your cell phone. Just basically talk to somebody. I'm telling you, once you talk to somebody, you'll feel better about what's going on in your world. We need you here. Our world world is a better place because you are here, and know that you are tremendously loved. And if something happened to you, you'd be tremendously missed. That's why I tell you all the time, we love you. More importantly, more than anything else, God loves you. DVD's next.